This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
And we're now joined in the studio by Victoria Dorman, a zoopharmacognosist. Hello there, Victoria.
Hi, Jackie.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
It's okay, well, I'm not going to attempt to say that word again. So perhaps you would like to perhaps explain to our listeners what exactly that means.
Yeah, so few people have heard of it. It's zoopharmacognosy, and it came about, I think, somewhere in the 90s, an American zoologist and scientist coined the phrase because for years people had been observing that animals in the wild treat themselves for any complaints, to bring themselves into balance and to be healthy, by searching out medicinal herbs, algaes, clays, things like that. Anyone who's watched David Attenborough will have seen, I've seen parrots nibbling away at clay and animals drinking from scummy ponds, and it's because they're looking for things to heal themselves. And so zoo, it all comes from the Greek. So you've got zoo, animal, pharma, drugs, and cognosy, knowledge of. So zoo, pharma, cognosy.
Right, okay, so how did you become one?
Well, I have always been into herbs. Even as a kid, I was into wildflowers and what herbs could do and how you could cook with them. I became a homeopath, got into then aromatherapy oils, which are amazing essential oils, and was teaching essential oil class one night at a, which is how I market them, at a lady who had an equestrian yard. And there was about six of us. We had a great evening's education. And then one of the girls said, can we now take the oils out to treat the horses? Which I thought sounded really wacky, but I went along with it. And we went out into the yard. There was a line of loose boxes. And the first horse was absolutely didn't want us there at all. The ears were back, teeth were bared. And so we skirted around that one, and the owner said, oh, don't worry about Digger. He only likes me. He's, you know, got that attitude, his behavioural problem. So I went to the next horse, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but I put a drop of peppermint on my hands and offered it to the horse. And this horse just went bonkers for it. It was sniffing my hands. It then started to lick really, really hard on my hands. And as I was doing this, I noticed that the horse that had wanted us all to go away was leaning forward now and very interested in what I was doing. So I offered him my peppermint hands, and he was breathing in deeply. He wanted to lick my hands. I put some more peppermint on them. He went into a kind of trance.
How incredible.
And then after a while, he started doing this weird thing of bending his neck and kind of indicating to me that he wanted some put on his neck, which I did. And he just, it was almost instantaneous. He went from an aggressive defensive horse to one who was completely relaxed, let us stroke him, let us kiss his cheeks. And the owner was flabbergasted. And what had happened was he had an injury. He was in pain. That was influencing his behavior. And peppermint is an analgesic and an anti-inflammatory, and within minutes he felt better.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
So I got home, I Googled, discovered the wonderful woman called Caroline Ingraham, who for the last 15 years has been creating this wonderful therapy of applied zoopharmacognosy. And she doesn't teach anymore, but I found one of her ex-students who does teach it, Joe Rose in Oxfordshire. I did a year's course with her, and now I'm doing it myself.
And so what did that year's course entail?
Studying the anatomy and behaviour of horses and dogs, studying the medicinal plants that grow in Britain, plus other plants that will be in the kit, studying essential oils, and then how to bring them to animals. Because the problem is that wild animals are fine. Wild animals can forage, they can find their own herbs, find what they need. But the average dog living in a house and going out for a quick run in the park if it's lucky, doesn't get access. Though you might see them eating grass or eating a muddy pool and saying, hey, don't stop that. But they're doing it for a reason, because they want the clay, for example, in the puddle. And the grass will be helping them to purge. Horses get it a little bit better if they're in a paddock with hedgerows or trees. But if they're in stables or in grass strip land, they're not getting the plants they need. So applied zoopharmacognosy, or what the course that Joe runs called Herbal Choices for Animals, what it does is we bring all those plants and all those products that animal needs to them. And then through a quite careful way of presenting them, so that they always have a choice and you have to know how they respond, we bring nature to them. So we use essential oils, we use algae such as spirulina or chlorella, we use wheatgrass, barley grass, those nutrients. Then we also use a huge range of herbs, the kind of things that people consider weeds, like nettles, dandelions, hawthorns, milk thistle, all these things are medicinal plants.
And you actually put those together in some kind of brew or...?
No, they literally are just as they are.
So
They'll be just the dried herbs or fresh, if I'm lucky enough to be near them when I go and see the horse. Or sometimes you make macerates, which is those herbs have gone into a carrier oil, such as sunflower oil, to make, say, yarrow macerated oil.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll be clays, chalks, things like that, or essential oils.
Right.
Because essential oils are incredible.
Yes.
And just by breathing them in, you can have, as I said with Digger, this horse, you can have the most extraordinary effect on them, because a horse or a dog's sense of smell is hundreds of thousands of times stronger than us. And they have an immediate effect. So when they breathe those oils in, they can go straight to the limbic system, and that then dictates an endocrine hormone response, which can relax. I mean, rose oil, for example, in humans too, will reduce adrenaline levels by about 30% just by one sniff.
That's amazing. Yeah. So anyway, you discovered all this. You had this amazing effect on this horse. So after that, you thought, right, there's obviously a gap in the market here. I need to help more animals like this.
Yeah.
So one of my questions is, why is it only horses and dogs? Couldn't you do this with cats?
You can.
And other domestic pets?
Yep. You can do it with everything. So Caroline Ingraham, who started it all, treats elephants and monkeys in zoos.
Oh, really?
And hamsters and you name it. And I could, but I'm qualified to actually practice with horses and dogs.
Okay, and so when did you actually become a practitioner?
Last year.
Last year, and
yeah,
how's it going?
It's going wonderfully.
And can you tell us, can you share with us any unusual stories you've treated, where you've treated animals?
Every single one is unusual in as much as they all behave so differently. But a common problem, for example, is a lovely terrier that I went to see. She had been spayed recently. And the owners didn't think that she had much of a problem, apart from that she wasn't herself. And one of the things that animals don't do is display when they've got problems, because they're in pain or they're ill, but they don't want to. It safeguards them if they don't tell others about it. And so you never know really what's going wrong unless you have a battery of tests from the vets. So this technique allows you to kind of find out what's wrong. So I went along, I offered her essential oil. She was a bit interested in some of them. But when I got out my herbs, and particularly the pain-relieving herbs, she started eating them. And these are just dry, crunchy, bitter-tasting,
how incredible.
I would want to eat them herbs.
Yes.
And she ate a whole range of them. And from that, you knew that she had actually been in pain, although she wasn't displaying it.
And did she improve after that?
Hugely. She went and lay down and slept, and the reports back. I always leave the owner. One of the things I'm trying to do at the same time as treat the animal is teach the owner that they could be doing this on a kind of, you know, weekly basis. You can be offering your own animals, your horse or your dog.
But how would they know which herbs and essential oils to pick? That's it for which?
Yes, because I will first of all seeing which ones that they're keen on, and which ones they might need, and then I'll leave them with those key oils, and then they can offer them to them each day. And yes, the reports back from this particular dog that she was a completely different dog the next day.
That's incredible, isn't it?
So it works well on behavioural.
So issues. Are you treating mainly horses or mainly dogs at the
about
moment?
About 50-50.
And of course, you also run another business, Essential Oils for Humans, don't you?
Yes, I market essential oils because they are on the internet. You'll see so much about them now. They're very much on the increase, the knowledge of them, but they can help us in a huge number of ways, all levels of illness. In fact, frankincense, they've done a lot of scientific research on it now. Because frankincense crosses the blood-brain barrier, they're using it for Alzheimer's and dementia.
So you have another website where people can buy the herbs, the essential oils, I should say.
Yes.
And then do you then help them to know how to use those, or do you give advice?
Yes, I do classes.
Oh, you do classes?
I do classes in the introduction to essential oils.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. How often do you do those?
Whenever I can fit them in, really. Yes, whenever I get a group of 5 or 6 people and can fit a class in, I'll do that. And also how they can use essential oils to be free of toxins in their environment. So how to clean with essential oils. Make your own beauty products and deodorants and cleaning products and lotions and things like that.
Without all the chemicals.
So we can get rid of chemicals.
Sounds a very good idea.
A huge number of illnesses. And for our animals too.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to bring their pet to you, how does it work then? Do you actually go to the person's home and look at the pet there, or do they have to bring them to you?
No, best if I can come to you.
Right.
Yeah.
And then is it one session, 2 sessions? How does it work?
Ideally, I would give 2 sessions.
Right.
Because in 2 hours, the animal can only do so much. They then get tired, and there's usually then, you know, some other things revealed, and they want to then follow that up with something different a week later. And in fact, it can be completely different to what they had in the first week. And also, as I'm trying to teach the owner how they can be looking after their animal this way, it's great to have 2 sessions. And it's just wonderful. It's very emotional, actually, a lot of the time, to see owners who love their animals, otherwise I wouldn't be there. Just scales fall away from their eyes, and they realize how their animals know what they need. We don't need to prescribe in the way that we do.
So they don't need all these drugs that perhaps they might be given.
Well, I wouldn't say that, in as much as we always would have to. I always ask that they've asked their vet before they see me.
Sure.
And I respect other disciplines, but not always. Certainly, they could be well and happy, and especially with emotional behaviour, they can be well and happy without drugs.
Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you very much for coming in and seeing
pleasure.
Us.
Thank you so
now,
much.
Now, perhaps you would like to give us your website details if people want to get more information.
My website is www.naturalanimaltherapies.co.uk. And any listeners going to my site, find my mobile telephone number, and the first person to text me, I'm going to give a free session to a horse or a dog. And anybody else, any other listeners who text me, will get 25% off.
Okay. Well, are you going to give us your number now, or do they go onto the website to
go
find
to my website? Yeah, naturalanimaltherapies.co.uk. Find my number and text me.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.